Why is there pain and suffering? Is there life after death? We're all trying to make sense of life. And some of these questions can overwhelm us. They can leave us feeling out of our breath, you know, out of depth. You know, if you're an atheist, you don't believe that life has any purpose. You're just a pile of DNA just existing. Some blob, really. There's no difference between you and a piece of chair. And that's the logic of life. That's how many of us live. Many of us, even though we're atheists, believe life has no purpose. Isn't that actually how our economic system is made up? It's very much for yourself, for your own existence. We are functional materialists. We believe life is accumulating, accumulating, accumulating. It's amazing actually to move here. We see so much activity with the status. I mean, just piled up, you know, in the car park, and cars coming in and out, and people running to the mall. We have come to be life is really just about us, about accumulating stuff. So we may not be atheists, but many of us in society, even for ourselves, we are like transnational. And in one sense, the same life has no meaning beyond just eating and looking good. But John says, you know, your life has meaning. You are going to be funny. Why? Your life matters because God created you. And because God created you, that creator is the only one who knows the true meaning of your life. And recently in our house, we had these chairs that we got from one of these shops, and one of the chairs hasn't been able to fit very well. Actually, you fit from a 5 weeks ago, fitted. There are 6 chairs. But actually, one of them hasn't fitted. I don't know how to fix the chair. I mean, I've tried everything. So what do we have to do? Well, I have to go and actually, I don't know how to fix it. But we had to go back to the inventor, you know, the people who sold us the chair. Only they know how to put it together. Only know the full meaning about every part. What is wrong with it? We know that in everyday life. But when our life is broken, who do we turn to? We turn to ourselves. But John is saying, no, go back to the inventor of life. Go back to God Himself. So you see, not only gives us perspective, it gives us meaning, but it also gives us what? Direction. Because if Jesus is the giver of life, then it makes perfect sense to live to Jesus. You see, everything else is a waste of time by comparison. God has come. Imagine if you had a winning lottery ticket, you know, one of those Euro Millions, £10 million, jackpot, and he's sitting there on a ticket. What would you do? You wouldn't sleep, you know, somewhere just relaxing. You would catch it. And God has come greater than a £10 million lottery ticket. So we must live for Him. So this morning I'm asking you this question. Do you really believe that Jesus is the giver of life? And if you really believe in Him, then everything else is a waste of time. Are you giving your whole life to Him? Are you surrendering to Him? Do you have complete faith and trust in Him? That's the best reason John gives us. Second reason John gives us is that the reason why Jesus is the key to life, notice there, is that Jesus is the giver of life with God. Jesus is just the giver of all life. Jesus is the giver of life with God. Why has God come in Jesus? To bring us new joyful fellowship with God. Look at verse 2 again for a minute then. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3 goes on to say, that which we have seen, that we see Jesus, we heard Him, we declare Him to you, that you also may do what? May have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John is writing this thing to them so that they know that they should have fellowship, for they already have, because they've come to Jesus, fellowship with God. Now, all human beings are rebels. You know, we are like what was, you know, we are like in Aleppo, you know, in Syria somewhere. And we are fighting. fighting constantly, you know, the government, so to speak. That is us. We are rebels constantly against God. We turn our backs on God. And Paul writing to the church at Colossians said this, and you are once alienated, hostile in mind, doing iniquities. So we have problem with God in our natural self. You know, God is walking one way, we are walking one out of five doors. That is us without God. But John says, God the Father loves us so much that he sent the Son, God the Son, to come as the man in Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins, and to bring you into fellowship with him. What does it mean by this word fellowship he uses here? Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ and blessed. Well, the word for fellowship here is koinonia. And the word koinonia literally means union or sharing the same life. What John is saying is this, look. He's saying that in eternity past, God existed as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They were in fellowship. Jesus came to widen the triangle and to draw us in, to bring us at the very center of the God-like, so to speak, to bring us into union with him, to fellowship with him. You see, Jesus didn't just forgive us of our sins on the cross. No, Jesus gives us the very life of God. He connects us to God with him. We are now very much connected in union. Not part of God in a divine sense, but we are partakers of the divine nature because the Holy Spirit now lives within us. We are in union with him. That's what it means to be born again. It is coming to fellowship with God. It's a bit like a baby inside the mother's womb. The baby in the womb is living and active and draws what? Its life, its blood, everything else from the mother. But of course the baby is not the mother. But its life is symbiotically. The teacher here will correct my spelling. But it's connected. That's what God has done. You are joined when you come to Jesus. I would say, as we say, you're joined what? At the hip. Yeah? At the hip with Jesus. You know, you're joined to him. His life is now flowing through your veins. Look at 1 John 4, verse 9, what he says. He says, this is 1 John 4, verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, says, this is how God showed his love. Ananias, he did what? He sent his one and only Son into the world. Why? Why? John gives us another reason here. That we might live through him. I read already 1 John 5, verse 11 to 13. Let's read that again. And this is the testimony God has done what? Has given us eternal life. And his life is in his Son. He says, whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So what? So that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, when we start following Jesus, the very life of God now flows through your spiritual veins. It is not you now living. It is Jesus living through you. And of course, God offering this incredible life, bring us into union with him, is the greatest act of love you can ever know. You see, God is perfect. You are not. You are a sinner. God is immortal. You are mortal. God is life. You are dead. Yet this wonderful God is offering to become one of us as a man in Jesus so that he can share his life with you and become one with you. Friend, no one loves you like God does. Because no one offers to bridge such a gap as God has done for you in Jesus. And only Jesus loves you unconditionally because only Jesus knows you your simple things. He knows your hypocrisy. He knows your doubts. And he knows your shame. And yet he offers to share the life of God with you. The people who really love us, really know us to the end degree. And accept us for who we are. And work to change us. And connect their lives to us. Friends, only God loves you like that. Your boyfriend doesn't. Your girlfriend doesn't. Your mother doesn't love you unconditionally. Sorry, mothers. Not to the level that God has. And you don't love your parents that unconditionally. Because in this life, we always keep something from others. People can't know us fully. And only this Jesus knows us. For this means that there's no one who can satisfy your inner longings like Jesus can. Because no one can connect you to the most wise, the most loving, the most powerful person in the universe, apart from Jesus. You cannot find satisfaction in money. Just ask Big Sam, some other guys. Why would a man who has a fantastic job, a contract, a football contract, being paid millions, why would he risk it all for £400,000? Ask Big Sam that, he will tell you why. The answer is, you cannot find satisfaction in man. You know, you cannot even find satisfaction in sex or firmer spouses. The Brangelina breaker. Listen, isn't it? You know, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, they broke up. The golden couple of Hollywood. Angelina Jolie has found that she can't find everything she longs for in Brad Pitt. These things cannot satisfy us. But the sensation of good news of Jesus is that unconditional love, true fulfillment, is now available to all who trust in Jesus. Because Jesus has plugged our lives to God. We are now connected to the very life of God. Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, I just want to encourage you that this is your reality. Regardless of what is going on in your life, you are home with God now. You are fully sufficient in Him. Your worth is not in a job. Your worth is not in the state of your marriage. Your worth is not even in the state of this church. Your worth is rooted deeply. Should I say, not even in the state of the country. Your life is rooted deeply in Jesus. You are fully sufficient in Him. Regardless of the health challenges you may be going through. So don't depend on yourself. Don't do it your way. No. No need to compare yourself to others. God is in you. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, well, this life is available to you right now. God, what would be more fantastic than being plugged to the very life of God? For God to become your power source, who drives you, who fills you with Himself. So turn to Jesus this morning. Will you do that now? Come to me in faith. And the final, I think John tells us, the final reason. So three things. So the first thing is that Jesus is the, you know, is the first reason Jesus is the key to life is that Jesus is the giver of all life. We've seen that in verse 1. And the second thing John tells us is that Jesus, we've just seen is that Jesus is the giver of life with God. Giver of all life and giver of a special life. Giver of life with God. And the final reason Jesus, as John gives us, why Jesus is the key to life, is that Jesus is the giver of life together. Recently now, if you break the debate, it is very far away now. But if you remember carefully, to then decide your own, you'll probably forget. If you remember carefully what the big fight over Brexit was, it was over two competing visions of life. Okay? So the remainers said, we need each other. Okay? The world is a dangerous place. We need to partner with one another. We need to widen the community and draw others in and be part and partner with other countries. That's what they said. The big campaign said, no, what? Said, that is true, yes, we see that, it looks great. But what we really need is to create a new community, they said. Britain for too long has been trampled down. You know, it's not what it used to be. We need to recreate a new bold Britain. We need to take back control, they said. Now, never mind that control belongs to God, but what's interesting? We need to take back control. Why? So that we can build a better life together. Now, I don't want to get into the debate of which side, etc., etc. But all I want to say is this. Whatever side you are on, the argument was the same. It was a longing for a new community, a longing of a better life together as a country. Some believe it came through partnerships, and some believe this came through taking back control and forging our future. But the thing was the same. We need a better life together. But you see, friends, no matter what politicians promised us, we know deep down that these things of this world will never ultimately give us that new belonging we long for. You see, all of us, we know we were created to be with each other. We were created to exist as a community, but we know these things of this world will never give us that. They can never truly deliver a truly joyful community that we deeply yearn for each other. John said here that this community only comes from Jesus. Look at verse 4 for a minute, verse 3 and 4. He says this community comes from Jesus, bring us into union with God and bring us into union with each other. Look at verse 3. He says that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also are, so you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And why am I writing these things? I'm writing these things, John says, so that your joy may be full. Or other version says, our joy together may be full. John is saying, look, if you're a follower of Jesus, okay, you have been brought into fellowship with Jesus, with God, but you have also been brought into fellowship with one another. The word for fellowship is the same. John uses that common here. He's saying that when we come, when Jesus plants us to God, the life of God that lives in us is now living in the life of each and every person. You know, the very same life of God living in Brother Michael is the same very life of God living in Sister Sandra. It is the same very life of God living in Mr. Palm. It's the same very life of God living in Brother Fred. Sister Judith, it's all of you. This is the very same life that's flowing through us. There is a deeper connection among those who have come to Jesus that's deeper than any connection among physical relatives. Friends, you have more in common with an Iranian Christian that you have with your own brothers. That's the reality of the gospel. I like what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 18 to 19. He says this, for through him, that is Jesus, we have access with one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints. And then he has this, and members of the household of God. Friends, this is why as followers of Jesus, you know, we spend time with each other. What would the Zambians be doing in Bethlehem? I mean, you know, different part. What am I doing in this country? Oh, I can't be a bus. The point is, what am I doing in fellowship like this? Because of what Jesus has done. He has connected us with one another. Beyond cultures, beyond age. Maybe you have just started attending this church. And you're currently wondering, and you know, you're currently getting to know the church today.
The chance to your phone is a bit like going on a date. You know, you're trying out different times and you're trying to know that this chance suit you. Feels like blind date perhaps. You're wondering, is this church for me? Do I belong here? Well, the message in this verse is that the church is where the life of God happens. You see, within the next days, women don't look to you like, you know, perfect, performing not. We have many flaws in this church. Because the church is made up of self sinners. The church is an hospital. It is where sick people who are spiritually sick, go. So, of course, there will be many flaws in the church. But the truth of the matter is, says John, the core of church life is that we are individuals who have a joyful life in Christ and who truly belong to one another. And you can be part of this joyful life by belonging here. But first you must embrace Jesus. Because you cannot have communion with me if you don't have communion with God. You must first embrace Jesus. That means you may have attended this church many times. Your parents may bring you here. But if you have not truly repented of your sin, you don't really belong here. We love you and we want you to keep attending. But we want you also to come to faith and truly belong to us by repenting of your sins and committing yourself. Maybe you have repented of your sins, but you are not committed to church life yet. You see, the church to you is like more of a filling station, a gas station, right? A filling station. It's more like BP garage. You drop in when you have to. And then you have time, your tank is full, you're alright. Don't need to go there just now, I'm alright. When I have a crisis, I'll drop by. You are one foot in the church, but one foot elsewhere. You are not really committed here. You are definitely a follower of Jesus perhaps, but you are not bothered to get baptized. You have not publicly declared to the word of God, I identify with this church, locally and universally with the church. Maybe you are baptized, but you are not fully involved in church life. You have not come into church membership. You may not even know what church membership is. You are treating the church like a filling station. John is saying, examine yourself. If you really share in the life of God, if you have really repented, coming into membership is natural. It's what happens. All of us are siblings. What do we do with our siblings, physical siblings? We love them and we long to spend time with them. Why? Because we share the same mothers and fathers. Oh, mothers and fathers. Yeah. Right? Let's get that right. So, mother and father, and we long to spend time with them. Well, if you share the same life with God, you long to be part of this church. You long to genuinely belong locally. Locally. Maybe you are a member of this church and yet you share life with other believers. Yes, yes, you are not dating the church. Yes, you are not treating the church as a gas station. But you are like a married couple living in two separate houses. Literally, you are married to this church and you know, you spend time together. In fact, I recently heard about a couple like that. They are there for 2 hours and they live in one house, so they have 3 hours. Maybe you're like that. You are legally married to the church, but there's no tangible evidence that you genuinely belong here. You cannot remember the last time you visited another church member and just sat and wept and prayed with them. You cannot remember the last time you invited a member on the fringe of church life to your house for a meal just so that you can get to know them. You cannot remember the last time you made a deliberate effort to invest in another person in the church. You cannot remember the last time you were joyfully serving God without grumbling. Everything is family like that.
Their family is like that.
But that's not who we are in Jesus. You see, friends, the key to an abundant, joyful life is to be connected to God through Jesus. John says, I'm writing these things so that your joy may be full. Life has come. That's the breaking news. And this life is in Jesus Christ. And you can have this joy by genuinely belonging to God's people. Genuinely committing yourself to them. This joy does not come to us only individually. It is joy in the midst of a new, thriving community of grace. Where you are down, someone picks you up. Where you haven't been still for a week and somebody pulls you up. Where you can't get out of the house and somebody goes and gets shopping for you and drops it for you. Where, without you even thinking about it, you get a gift or a book saying, you know, you're interested in that book and I went up there and I got it. Life of Jesus is the key. So embrace this life. Don't be like Francis Metro. Don't do it your way. Embrace Jesus, the giver of life. The giver of life to God and the giver of life together. Amen.